Amen. Hallelujah. Such a sweet presence in this room. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I just have a laugh in my spirit. Is it okay if I just laugh? Is it okay? You know why I'm laughing? Because the devil has lost again. He's lost again. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, the devil put Jesus on the cross. And then they put him in the grave. And in hell, they were throwing a party. It's done. It's finished. And then Jesus showed up. And it's just really funny to me. Can you picture the devil? He's having his whatever. And then all of a sudden, his eyes are like, whoa! Hallelujah. You have the victory. You have a victory. You're alive and well in this room today. Because Jesus is good. Amen. We're starting a new message series today called Faith Giants. Somebody say Faith Giants. You are a faith giant. Amen. Today we're going to talk about faith giants see what other people can't see. I pray that God would open your eyes to see in Jesus' name. Amen. Somebody say next Sunday. Next Sunday we're going to talk about faith giants say what other people don't say. You are who you are today because of the words you said yesterday. And you're going to be who you're going to be tomorrow because of the words you're saying today. Your words have power. And so next Sunday, we're going to talk about the power of our words. We're going to learn how to release faith through the power of our words. And we're also going to destroy all the negative stuff that you have spoken over your life. And we're going to condemn those and destroy those so that they don't have life anymore. Amen. Whatever you do, come back next Sunday. And then on third Sunday, we're going to talk about faith giants do what others are afraid to do. You can pray all you want, but when it's said and done, your faith is going to be released when you begin to do some things you've never done before. If you do some things you've never done before, you're going to have something you've never had before. You can't just sit there. You've got to do something. Amen. But today we're talking about faith giants see what others can't see. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Numbers, chapter 13. Numbers, chapter 13. Numbers 13, verse 27 to 28. Numbers 13, 27 to 28. Wasn't that an amazing song we just sung here? Amen. Woo, hallelujah. I'm going to grow a beard. It's the beard. The anointing is in the beard. Hallelujah. What a great song. We're going to sing that song again at the end because it's in line with this message here. Our God is faithful. Amen. The text I'm about to read, this is a story where Moses sent 12 spies into the land of Canaan to go spy the land and see if they can attack the land and get victory. Two of them came back and they saw something different from the other 10. They saw victory. They brought a good report. But the other 10, they saw something completely negative and different. And this is what it was said. This is what they reported to Moses. We went to the land where you sent us. It is really a land flowing with milk and honey. Here's some of its fruit. But the people who live there are strong. This is what the 10 guys saw. They were scared. The people who live there are strong, and the cities have walls and are very large. We even saw the descendants of Anak there. The word Anak means neck. It also means choke a neck. I mean, so what they were talking about was, we saw some guys there that they're very strong, but they can fight as well. It was like saying, we saw Money Mayweather over there. We saw Muhammad Ali. We saw Mike Tyson over there. I mean, the guys were strong. We can't take this land. We're scared. It's scary. Impact, I want you to know that faith giants see what regular people are not able to see. Faith giants see what regular people are not able to see. The guy who built the first casino in Las Vegas, people told him, You can't build buildings and hotels and all kinds of stuff in the sand. This is a wilderness. This is a desert. There's sand everywhere. This is never going to work. But while everybody else was looking and seeing the wilderness, he saw buildings and cities. Because faith giants have the ability to see what other people don't see. I declare over you right now in the name of Jesus that God will open your eyes to see what other people don't see. When other people see death, you're going to be able to see life in the name of Jesus. I declare that God's going to open your eyes to see the way other people don't see. They told him, don't build hotels here. Don't build. There's sand here. There's wildernesses. Nothing can come out of this place. But while everybody saw death, he saw life. While everybody saw the wilderness, he saw buildings. Amen. Gillette Stadium. Gillette Stadium used to be known as Foxborough Stadium. And it wasn't doing well years ago. The parking lots were of dirt roads and a few restaurants. Not much was going on. Because of that, they were struggling. The team was struggling. They didn't have enough money to get new players and all that kind of stuff. There was no life. There was no momentum. And they were getting ready to destroy the place until a man called Robert Kraft decided, please don't destroy this place. I can do something with this place. And he bought the place and began to develop the place and put new lights and new screens and all kinds of hotels and restaurants. And he just began to develop the place. And all of a sudden, the place had momentum again. They were able to get new players. And now there's life. Can we just celebrate the Patriots for a second in this place? Come on, somebody. Hey, they won the Super Bowl last year. This afternoon, they're praying, Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that they're going to win again against the Jets. Come on, somebody. If you, anybody from New York? Anybody from New York? Please keep your hands up. Father, forgive them. But while everybody was ready to destroy the stadium, this man saw something different from what everybody else saw. Faith is not just a matter of speaking and saying stuff that you don't believe. You've got to see things that other people don't see. When everybody else sees death, you have to see life. I declare that God is going to raise up people in this church that see life where everybody else sees death. Somebody say amen. You know, when I met my wife here, she's in the building. Somebody help me celebrate my beautiful Vanilla here. I love Vanilla. Amen. Now I'm going to get, can y'all pray for me? Donna, Linden, can y'all pray for me? Because I'm about to get killed by this example I'm about to give right now. Can somebody just pray for me? Well, when I met my wife years ago, we were young. We were all young and we were in a church and, you know, young kids having fun. And so I had my eyes on her, right? Right. Help me, Lord. Well, at first, she didn't really have her eyes on me, y'all. Come on, somebody. Can you believe that? All this right here, African Denzel. And well, she had a little crush on some other kid, a goofball. He wasn't all that. I mean, African Denzel right here. I mean, the kid, he was all right. You know, he was all right. I'm still struggling with this one over here. Somebody pray for me. But I wanted to be the first one. Come on, somebody. I wanted to be the first. But there was this kid. He wasn't really all that, really, you know, really. But here's what happened. Here's what happened. So my friends and I were hanging out. And this kid was a friend of mine. So somebody asked, hey, what do you think about Michelle? And the kid started dissing. Oh, man. She's not all that and this and this. And I was like, okay, check, because now I can go for the girl, right? I can go for her this time. So I went over to her, you know what I'm saying, with my African goat skin. I had shakers. I had a headband, and I showed up there. I was like, hoorah! I showed up like Tarzan. She was like, come to me, daddy, come to me. Well, long story short, we started dating. And I started, you know, we started having fun and reading the Word of God together. I started giving opportunities to minister and do different things. And she started hanging out with my sister. She started dressing a little differently and doing her makeup a little different. I mean, she just had authority. How many people know love will make you blossom? Come on, somebody. She just was coming out, man. She was coming out. And one day, I remember, she walked into this room, and my friends and I were in there, and this kid was in there, too. And she just walked in there shaking what her mama gave her. Come on, somebody. She walked in there, And she just walked in, and these guys were like, oh, my God, Michelle looking good these days. I said, brother, you hold up. She with daddy now. Come on. Your eyes were closed. She's looking good now because I take care of her. Come on, somebody. Faith giants see what other people don't see. What, while everybody else doesn't see what God is doing, faith giants have the ability to see beauty when other people can't see beauty. Faith giants can see a diamond when everybody else is seeing a stone. Faith giants can see life when everybody else is seeing death. I declare over you right now that God will cause your eyes to open and you're going to be a faith giant. Come on, let me hear every faith giant in this shout, in this place shout hallelujah. Open our eyes to see. Open our eyes to see. Sometimes we are a bunch of religious people. Listen, you can pray all you want, but until you begin to see things differently, your faith will not produce for you. I grew up in churches where people are like, hey, we're going to build houses. We're going to do great things. Greatness is coming. Greatness is coming. Next year, greatness is coming. Greatness is, the following year, greatness is coming. Greatness is coming. Y'all keep believing, kids. Fourth year, tenth, greatness is coming. Greatness. And some of them backslid because their faith didn't produce. I'm talking about faith giants. I'm not talking about that religious stuff we do. I'm talking about faith that sees something different. Somebody shout hallelujah. The Bible says in the book of Psalms 27 that David says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my light. He's my vision. He's my enlightenment. I can see what others don't see. And because I can see what others don't see, I'll have no fear. Real faith. You can see a person with real faith because they're peaceful in the midst of the storm. The Lord is my light, my salvation. Real faith causes you to do some things. It's one thing to say, I believe, I believe, I believe. People say that. I believe I'm going to be a great preacher of the word of God. Well, if you really believe what you believe, you won't be slipping around and doing all those crazy stuff. I believe I'm going to be this. Well, if you really believe what you believe, you do some things differently. So God opened the eyes of our hearts so we can see. The Bible also says in the book of Isaiah 43:19, for I'm about to do something new. See, I've already begun. Do you not see it? That's the question. Can you see it? Do you not see it? What do you see? Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness, and I will create rivers in the dry wastelands. Somebody say, I am a faith giant. Say, I am a faith giant. Say, Lord, open my eyes to see. In the text that we just read here, Moses begins to speak to these 12 spies who just came to spy the land. And two of them were faith giants because they saw something that the rest of them didn't see. They saw victory. They said, we can do this. We can take the land. But 10 of them complained. And this is what they say in the scripture we just read here. Verse 28, but the people who live there are strong, and the cities have walls and are very large. The people who live there, the people who live there, the people who live there. I want to give you three reasons why people don't see with the eyes of faith. These guys here had no ability to see with the eyes of faith because they were looking at the bigness of the problem instead of looking at the bigness of their God. The people are strong. The people are big. They're gonna knock us out. They're gonna hit us. We can't do it. We can't. They were dwelling on the problem instead of dwelling on the bigness of their God. The people there are strong. Well, who created those people? It's God who created those people. It's amazing sometimes the way people talk about their problem. It's as if they become marketing agents of their own problem. When I tell them, hey man, you can go to college, you can do it. Oh, Pastor, you don't know how difficult it is to go to college in Boston. Pastor, Boston is crazy. I'm telling you, Boston is just, there's nothing like Boston. Hey, you can buy a house here. No, you can't buy a house. I'm telling you, North Carolina maybe, Atlanta maybe, but I'm telling you, Boston is crazy. You just can't. Hey, God can heal your mother. God can heal your marriage. But Pastor, you don't get it. You don't know my wife. You don't know my husband. You don't know my spouse. I'm telling you, there's nobody like, you're too consumed with the bigness of your problem instead of being consumed with the bigness of your God. And if you're consumed with your problem, that's all you're going to see. Faith goes out the door. The Bible says in the book of John chapter 1 verse 16, it says, and of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. And of his fullness, and of his fullness, capital H, and of the fullness of Jesus, we have all received, past tense, we have all received. I want to remind you that everything you need, God has already provided for you in his grace right now. That's the place of faith. Faith is not just doing the stuff we've been told to do. If you're believing God for a house, say house 24 times, you're gonna have it. House. You can do that all you want. But faith is knowing that that house is already provided right now because of the grace of Jesus. It's there right now. Somebody shout right now. No, you got to do it like an African preacher. Say right now. It's there. One more time. It's there. Your healing is there right now in the grace of Jesus. That miracle you're believing God for, it's there right now in the grace of Jesus. People ask me, hey, man, how do you just come from nowhere and start a church in Boston and things are growing? Well, brother, I'm not smart. I'm not the smartest guy you ever find. Here's the secret. I'm an average guy. I'm the most average guy you ever find. But I'm just foolish enough. And I was foolish enough. And I was just so glad that I have a wife who was willing to believe with me enough that this church had already been created in the grace of Jesus. Hallelujah. And where we're supposed to go. The buildings we need, the finances we need, the people we need to do a great work and impact people. I believe all that is there already right now in the presence of God. It's there right now. It sounds foolish, but it's true. Of his fullness, we have all received, past tense, it's already done right now. You want to be a faith giant? You have to believe. That the miracle you believe in God for, come on somebody. Yeah, the blessing you believe in God for, come on somebody. That healing you believe in God for, come on somebody. That spouse you're believing God for. The salvation of a child, your child coming back, you gotta believe it's there now. If you don't believe that, your faith will not produce. You've gotta believe it, it's done right now. And you've gotta know this, your faith does not create anything. Your faith simply releases what's already there in the heavenly realms because of the grace of Jesus. If your faith creates stuff, then your faith becomes God. There can only be one God. If your faith can create stuff, you become legalistic. You are the one making it happen, but not God. Grace has done it already. Your faith simply releases what's already been done in the grace of Jesus. Your faith is positive response to what God has already done for you. Grace makes it and faith takes it. Ooh, that's good. I felt that. I felt that. Grace makes it. Faith takes it. You got to be a little dramatic like me. Come on, do it like this. Do it like you're cooking a good Brazilian food meal. Come on. Faith cooks it. Faith makes it. Grace makes it. And faith, let's say that together. Grace makes it. Faith, grace, faith, it's done. It's finished right now. Now, can you believe that? Grace is God's part and faith is your part. And if grace has made it, your faith can take it. You can take it. They focused on the bigness of their problem instead of focusing on the bigness of their God. If you're going to be a faith giant, you've got to know that God has already given you everything you need in the spiritual realm through his grace right now. Amen. Second thing, the difference here between those 10 spies and the two faith giants. Those 10 spies were focusing on their insecurities. They focused on their insecurities. Numbers 13:33. We saw Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak are Nephilim. We felt as small as grasshoppers. We felt as small as grasshoppers. And this is how we must have looked to them. we felt as small as grasshoppers. Can we just talk here for a moment? Is that a yes? Do you ever have moments where you just feel like a grasshopper? I know I'm talking to faith giants here and believers. Anybody here, you just feel like a grasshopper. You feel insecure. Well, you don't have to raise your hands. I know you do. One, because I'm a pastor and I talk to a lot of people. Two, because everybody has insecurities. This guy said, we felt like grasshoppers. We felt useless. We felt useless. Instead of focusing on the bigness of their God, they were focusing on their inadequacy, on their weakness, on their insecurity. We don't have this. We don't have this. We don't have this. And so this is what happens. God begins to tell you, build the house. Buy a house. Start the business. Get married this year. Do this. And you begin to focus on your insecurities. I'm not cute enough. I'm not beautiful enough. I'm not a size 8. I don't have this and I don't have that. We don't have the money. Instead of focusing on the goodness of God, you're focusing on your insecurity. And right there, faith is choked to death. Your insecurities will choke your faith to death anytime, any day. Your insecurities will eat your faith for lunch. But we all have them. We all have them. So, Impact, I want you to know this. The thing that will cure your insecurities is not confidence in your skills and talent. You don't need more talent. The thing that will fix your insecurities is a revelation of the love of Daddy God. You've got to know and believe that He loves you so much. When He tells you to jump, you've got to know that you're going to jump not because you trust and you have confidence in your jumping skills, but you're going to jump because you have faith that Daddy God is going to do His part. He's going to catch you. He can be trusted. That's faith. Faith is not this macho thing. Yet again, I grew up in churches where people thought faith was this macho thing. I dare you to do it. I dare you to do it. Why don't you do it? That faith can't take you far. Real faith has to be anchored in the revelation of the love of Daddy God. I know Daddy loves me. I know He cares for me. I know He's going to do His part. He's not going to let me down. He's going to do His part. I want to share with you how I met this brother, Joel Austin. Because many people have asked me, man, how in the world do you meet these guys? How in the world do you do this? And by the way, this is not about Joel Austin. This is about demonstrating the love of God. I went to California. And while I was there, I met a pastor who had gone through 4 church splits in a short time. His church was nosediving. And I saw this guy. I said hello to him, and he was in tears, just broken, him and his wife. God begins to speak to me, and I prophesied over his life, and I said, Phil, God's going to use you in the next 60 days. There's going to be a shift. And he was just in tears, his wife, they were in tears, breaking down. And I'll tell you, 60 days later, this brother called me. He said, brother, God's done it. God's done it. God's done it. I said, what happened? He said, brother, there's good news and there's bad news. I said, tell me the bad news first. He said, the bad news is we lost the church. I said, man, I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry. He says, but man of God, the good news is I just got hired by Joel Austin. And I said, wow, how does that happen? And so he says to me, Zenzo, I want you to come to New York at the Bronx Stadium, at the next Night of Hope, at the New York Night of Hope. And I want to introduce you to Joel Austin. There's going to be 70,000 people over there, and I want you to meet him. Now, my insecurities kicked in. I remembered all the men of God that have made promises to me, and they never came through. I remembered fathers and different people, and people have rejected me. People have made promises and nothing came to pass. And I remembered thinking nothing good happens in my family. All these insecurities began to kick in. How can I go to New York and there's 70,000 people that are making a demand on this man of God, and little me, I'm going to get a chance to meet this guy? So I said, okay, I'm going to go to New York. I'm just going to try it out. So I get on the road with my friend David. Everybody needs a friend who can believe with them. Come on. Somebody who's foolish enough to say, hey, come on, we can believe. We can do this together. So we drove over there. David is like, hey, man, I hope we get to meet him. If we don't meet him, man, you're still my dude. Still my dude. We drove over there, spent a lot of money to get over there. And I get there, and I see Phil Muncy, and I'm excited. Hey! I tap Phil Muncy, and I just said, hey! And he looks at me, and he gives me a thumbs up, and he walks away and disappears. So all of a sudden, those insecurities, that rejection, right? It's kicking in. It's kicking in. Oh, dude, you're foolish. How in the world would you think you'd come over here with 70,000 people with your African self and meet this dude? Like, all these thoughts, all this, the rejection I've received in the past, it's all kicking in. Yeah. Some of you know what I'm talking about in this place. Because we are wired that way. People have let us down. Some people have been disappointed by their own family, fathers and mothers. And when that happens, it wires you to distrust people. And when you lose your trust in people that you see, you begin to lose trust in the God you've never seen before. That's what happens. And so right there, I'm thinking, okay, this was a bad idea. But I thought to myself, I only met Phil once. So there could be a possibility that he has forgotten who I am. So I'm going to go back to him. And this time I'm going to tell him my name. And we'll see if he can remember me. If he doesn't, it's all good. We spent the money. We got out here. We had some food. Hey, we can go back to Boston. So I go back to Phil and I tap him and I say, Phil Muncy. This is Zenzo Matoga from Boston. Remember me, United Night of Worship? And he goes silent. And I'm thinking, okay, there goes the rejection again. There goes the rejection again. But then in a moment, he shouts, hey, man of God. Ah, man of God. And then he just gives me one of those big hugs. And he just hugs up on me. And he doesn't let go. Felt like 3 minutes. He's just hugging up on me. Just picture this, right? A dude, white dude in his 60s. Black African bald head guy in his 30s, hugging up on each other for 3 minutes. Come on, this is New York we're talking about. So I'm thinking, man, let me go. This is too much. Looking around, make sure there's no paparazzi, no people from Boston looking around. Pastor living on the down low in New York. Come on, somebody. I'm like, so he's hugging up on me. I'm uncomfortable. And then he has the nerve and the guts to pick me up. Now, my body is touching his body and my feet are floating. I'm like, okay, this is crazy now. This is wild. And then he puts me down and this man has the audacity to kiss me on both cheeks. Now, I'm like, ah, Jesus, man. This will do, man. This, you can love me like this, man. And then he hugs me again. He grabs me again. Because he's excited. I prophesied life into this brother's future. He's hugging me again. And right there in the midst of him hugging me the second time, I hear the voice of God saying, son, don't you ever doubt my love for you again. And I hear God say to me, son, you are special to me even in the midst of 70,000 people. Yeah. You know, Jose, at this moment, I didn't need this guy to tell me that I was going to meet Joel Austin that day. Because of the love, my faith rose up. I knew it was happening. I didn't have to see the guy to know I was meeting him. My faith shot up in the moment of love. The thing that will fix your insecurity and raise up your faith is not just natural boldness or skills and talent. You don't need more skills and more talent. You need a revelation of the love of Daddy God, that he will never let you down. He's faithful. Come on, he's faithful. He can be trusted. He's faithful. Come on, let's put our hands together for Jesus right here in this place. He's faithful. He can be trusted. So at this point, faith, man, there's faith in me. All of a sudden, my move changed. I got a spring in my shoe. I'm like, come on, let's do this. We got bodyguards all over us. We're walking to meet Joel Austin. I'm just walking. I'm like, hey, FBI, how you guys doing? Hey, CIA. All of a sudden, my move changed because Daddy loves me. That love proved that this God cannot fail me. You want to be a faith giant? It's not about being macho. That faith will fail you. It's limited. If your faith is not anchored in the faithfulness, the love, and the integrity of Daddy God, that faith will fail you. I know people who've literally backslidden because their faith was not anchored in love. It was anchored in pride. God can be trusted. I want to take a moment here and remind you, God can be trusted. He loves you. He can be trusted. He loves you. Somebody say amen and amen. Turn to your neighbor and tell him he can be trusted. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, it says, perfect love casts away fear. Fear is the opposite of faith. When love comes in, fear has to go. Faith has to come in. In Numbers 13, verse 11, the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people treat me with contempt? He's talking about those 10 guys. How long will they refuse to trust me in spite of all the miraculous signs I have done among them? And I believe that's what God is asking some of us here. Look at all the things I've done in your life. Look at how I've protected you. Look at all those seasons of crying and how I came through for you. Why won't you trust me with this situation? Why won't you believe that I'll do it? The last point, and then I'm done. We're going to worship. The thing that happened with those 10 guys who didn't believe is that they walked away from the presence of God. They walked away from the presence of God. Moses and Joshua and Caleb, the Bible says they began to worship. And the glory of God came down. Those men were scaring them. We're going to stone you. We're going to choose new leaders. We're going to stone you. And the Bible says they remained in the presence of God. Those guys said, let's go back. Let's just go back to Egypt. Let's just go back from where we came from. But these men remained in the presence of God. I want you to know that faith is anchored in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. You cannot trust a person you don't spend time with. You cannot trust a God you don't spend time with. In the presence of God is where your faith tank is replenished and refilled. One of the greatest enemies to your faith is busyness. We live in a generation that's too busy. We don't have time for God. And because of that, there's no faith. Our faith cannot last us long. It fails us because it's not anchored in fellowship with Daddy God. One day I was playing my little kids and I kind of played rough, you know, and there was this rock, this really high rock, and my kids were climbing on this rock, and there was Zenzo and Sarah and Joshua there, and I was like, okay, Zenzo, come on, jump, jump. It's like, Dad, you're crazy. I said, no, come on, I dare you, jump. The kid flew, I caught him, like, yeah, cool, yeah, Dad, let's do it again. Then I said, Sarah, come on, jump. You jump. It's your turn. And she just, I didn't even have to finish to tell this little Sarah here because she's daddy's girl. She just flew. Her trust in me actually scared me. I was like, man, you got to kind of tell me. You got to, don't just jump like that, man. And then I looked at my Joshua. I said, Joshua, you jump. And at this moment, I hadn't invested enough time in relationship and trust with my Joshua yet. He was new. And the other two older ones, they're really demanding. They'll tell you what they need, and Joshua is quieter. So I said, Josh, jump. And he just stood there frozen. I said, dude, come on, jump. And he just stood there. And then I look back, and the kid is crying. Just makes these faces. I said, Joshua, jump.
No, I've gone too far.
I said, dude, come on. I just caught Zenzo and I just caught Sarah. Why do you think I'm going to let you fall? He's just like, nah. Now, I was getting upset, Pastor Femi. I'm like, dude, come on, jump. I mean, there's that African thing in me. I'm like, come on, man, jump. I'm going to catch you. And then I went close to him. I'm standing next. I mean, the guy is standing right here and I'm standing next to him. And I say, jump. And he still did not jump. And I felt God saying, you need to invest time with this kid. And for the next few months, I would hang out with Joshua, take special moments with him, just walk with him. I began to do things that I did with Zenzo and with Sarah. Because how many people know you do a little more when you have your firstborn? You just do more. For the first time, I had revelation that there's certain things that we did with our two kids that we're not doing with him. We have to change. And so I started hanging out with him. And about 6 months later, we went back to the same place. And I wasn't going to ask Joshua to jump again, but I turned around and he said, Dad! And I saw Joshua flying, jumping, and I caught him. Don't those moments just bring you to tears? Because it's a revelation of God. What had changed within 6 months? It's not that Joshua had developed more jumping skills. He's got jumping skills. He's an African kid. But he had developed more trust. Trust level brings up faith level. When you begin to believe in the love of God, your faith level will go up. Fear is distrust in the love of God. A moment of fear is when you're the most unsure that God will do what he said he would do. Fear is believing that the devil's plan over your life will succeed over God's plan. And faith is believing that God will do what he said he's going to do. Fellowship, fellowship. Father, I pray for a generation that will take time in your presence and fellowship with you. And as you gaze in the beautiful eyes of Jesus, faith will rise up. Please stand if you can. Please stand if you can. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Impact, the bankruptcy of the presence of God creates the bankruptcy of faith. And the bankruptcy of faith creates the bankruptcy of miracles. Faith is birthed in the presence of God. When you begin to fellowship with Daddy God, when you begin to hang out with God, some of you, God is telling you, come on, jump, jump. Start that business, jump. You can do that thing, come on, jump. And you're standing there and you're saying, I can't. I'm scared, I'm going to fall. And God's saying, jump. I can be trusted. I can be trusted. I'm going to do something here that seems funny. We did it in the first service. I want you to just smile. Just put a smile on your face and just do this. Just do this. Just do that. Yeah, please do it. Just do it. Pastor, why are you making me do that? I don't know. It just looks cool. The reason I'm making you do that, I want you to put your shoulder up and just say, I'm daddy's favorite child. Yeah. And when you leave this place today, I want to see everybody in this church in that lobby walking like you got it. You know why? Because you got it. Because you're a son and a daughter of the Most High God. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. That's faith. That's faith. That's faith. You can make all that confession all you want. You can pray in tongues. Come on, from Asia. Hallelujah. What are tongues from Asia? Mitsubishi, Mitsubishi, Honda Accord, Honda Accord, Hyundai, 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 Hyundai. Subaru, 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 Subaru. You can do all that. You can do all those church stuff you do. But until you believe that when you jump, Daddy God is going to cut you, that you can jump not because of your faith and your confidence in your jumping skills, but you can jump because of your faith and your confidence in the love and faithfulness and integrity of Daddy God, your faith is going to be weak. Hallelujah. God loves this African short young man right here. You can't convince me otherwise. Jalen, you can't convince me otherwise. God loves me. He's never let me down, and he's not about to start today. And your daddy's favorite child as well. And it's not based on your goodness. God's going to bless you because of his goodness. He was good before you were born. He's a good God. He's a good God. So every eye closed. Take a deep breath. Here it is. Let go. Let go. Let go. Let that fear get out of this place. This atmosphere, he can be trusted. He'll do it again. And everything that you need is already provided right now in the grace of God. Your faith is simply going to release what's already here. You don't have to strive. Faith is not striving. Faith is receiving. You simply receive what God's already done. Hallelujah. There it is. There it is. Faith is rising right now. Come on. Somebody's receiving a home right here, right now. Somebody's receiving the miracle of their body right here, right now. Because Daddy God wants to heal you. I curse that tumor right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I curse that suicide in the name of Jesus. I curse that depression in the name of Jesus. Take another breath. Take another breath. Be conscious of the love of God. Receive the love of God. Daddy is here. Daddy is home. Daddy's home. Daddy's home. If you're somebody who's been let down by people, let down by a lot of people, especially let down by some of the people in your family, you're going to struggle to trust God. But all that goes here in the name of Jesus. He loves you so much. He died for you. He left heaven to save you. You can trust him. You can trust him. You can trust him with your questions that have been answered. You can trust him with the questions that haven't been answered yet. You can trust him. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Lift up the music. He loves you. He loves you. Hallelujah. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you.